It is so good to have everyone here today and those that will be listening on the website. And today's message is the blood of righteous Abel. And we're going to begin in Genesis 4 and look at verses 8 through 10 on this May 28, 2024. Time is just flying by. And what got us here is what we've been studying. We've been studying the resurrection body, the glorified body, the soma, the physical body. And I laid a foundation this past week, where this past Sunday, where I shared with you that it seems as though our glorified bodies will not have blood in them, that the Holy Spirit takes that place. And we'll look more at that as we develop these messages. And it is the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that gives us eternal life. So Jesus even said at the great feast, you'll have the Holy Spirit coursing up out of your stomach. And I never read it that way before until I'd studied these scriptures. And so as I've been studying blood in the Word of God, this is a very familiar scripture about the blood crying out to God. And it gives us a lot of symbolism and important truth. So in Genesis 4, verse 8, it says this, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." Now I want you to notice something. Cain was the very first person born on earth to Adam and Eve. Adam formed by God out of the dust. Eve formed by God out of the rib. The very first human being born on the face of this earth 6,000 years ago was a murderer. You know, I was contemplating that this week. That's just amazing to me. How far and how fast human nature can fall. From Adam and Eve being in innocence before God, then Satan leading them to sin. And the very first born of Adam and Eve is a murderer. And then he lies and tries to conceal it. I don't know what you're talking about, God. And it just amazes me, the patience and the long suffering and the love of God for humanity. God so loved the world, you know, he should have said, for God so loved a lot of bums like us. And sure enough, he does. But that just amazes me. The life is in the blood. We're going to look at that quickly and then move on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and a cleansing. I confess these things to you out loud, and Lord, I know that you are faithful to forgive. I pray for victory over certain sins in my life that reoccur. And Lord Jesus, I know that you're not going to give up, and I'm not going to give up. So we thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray to be anointed with your Spirit today, cleansed by your blood as a servant to wash the feet of these folks with the Word of God. And Lord, let us each glean as your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts personal truths today about you, your love for us, human nature, all these things. And Father, we just praise your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this statement is made in verse 10, and we're going to look at it because in Hebrews another statement is made about how the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Cain. And we'll not get to that today, but this is a very famous and familiar scripture. And in verse 10, he says this, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." Now, go back with me to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, where we looked last week, where God is telling Moses that the blood of a human being, the blood of an animal, all of this is sacred in the sight of God. And so in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10, he says this, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eat any manner of blood, I will set my face against the soul that eats blood, and I will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood." The life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood represents the life. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul." So the blood is to be reverenced because it represents every life. It represents my life, Melissa's life. It represents the life of the lambs that were slain in the temple. It represents the life of the animals that were slain in the Garden of Eden to make the covering for Adam and Eve. And it is given to us for a spiritual purpose, first of all, of atonement. And what does that mean? It means that the blood shed on the altar represents the life given as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sinner. So, Jonathan, if I'm a Jewish person and I commit a sin back in the day under the old covenant, I would go to the temple, I would confess to the priest, I would bring a lamb or a pigeon or a turtle dove, and I wouldn't have to die, but the priest would have to slay that animal, spill that blood out on the altar as a substitutionary sacrifice for my sin. Same thing Jesus did on the cross. Romans 6, 23 says the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve were told by God in Genesis 2:17. They were told by God that if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. But God showed mercy, and he slayed two animals and made skins for them. So it is given to us as an atonement for our sin, and it's to be reverenced, and your blood represents your life. Now go to Genesis 9. Genesis 9. And in Genesis 9, after the flood, in verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moves upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh is with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, and you shall not eat it." He tells Noah, the flesh is in the blood. "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast I will require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." And what does that mean? That means a life is required for a life. Someone takes a life, their life should be required according to God's command. It's a divine command, and this is the penalty for it. And you say, well, why, Brother Leo? Why is this so important? Verse 6, for in the image of God made he man. God has made man in his own image. God has placed this great honor, this great dignity, and this great value upon a man's life, or a woman's life, or a child's life, or a babe in the womb, their life. They have been made in his own image with the ability and the capacity to know God in a personal way through salvation and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's why in 1 Timothy 2:4, God says, I desire that every man be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants everyone to know him, everyone to be in relationship with him. And that's why life needs to be valued. Human life needs to be valued. We're created in the image of God. And if you murder a fellow human being, you have defaced and you have dishonored God himself at the highest level. At the highest level. And it amazes me that the second sin recorded in the Bible after Adam and Eve partake of the tree is murder. The very worst sin. You know, I can rob from you, I can steal from you, I can lie to you. We can commit a whole bunch of different sins, but man, right out the gate, Cain murders Abel. Shows no value to his life. And if you go with me back to Genesis 4, he says this. So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? So he lies. Verse 9, he lies. I know not. He knows exactly where he is. He's where he killed him. He's where he killed him. And he said, and the Lord said, why have you done this? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Now, I want to make, and I'm not sure we even get past this point today, but this is the point I want to make. The blood that came out of Abel seeped down into the ground. And so this voice from heaven, don't miss this part of it. God's voice is speaking to him from heaven. And he says, the blood of your brother is crying out to me from the ground. And so what I want you to understand, you can conceal it, Cain. You can take the ground and cover it up, Cain. But God values life and God sees all. So let me show you all that God sees concerning life. Concerning life in the womb. Concerning life of the individual. Concerning life of the nation of Israel. I want to show you these three points and show you how much God sees and how much God values these lives. So go with me to Psalm 139 and let me show you what God sees. In Psalm 139, verse 13, the scripture says this, for thou hast possessed my reins, and you have covered me in my mother's womb. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thou my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret. When I was an embryo. The first coming together of the embryo within the womb, God sees. God sees that substance in the depth of a woman's womb. And in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So what are members, Brother Leo? Well, they're arms and legs and everything else in our body. You know, our face, our nose, our ears, everything that was formed in our body. Look at what it says. In your book, all my members were written. God knew how you were going to look when you were an embryo. God had a plan. That book there is God's plan for your life. That book is God's plan for your life. Now, I can't prove it, but I feel very comfortable about it. When I'm studying rabbinical writings, and I'm talking about 1,000 years ago rabbinical writings and teachings concerning the blood of Abel, they say that that's plural, the bloods of Abel. And they say, well, why would they say it's the bloods of Abel? Because when God sees the life, He not only sees your life, He sees your children's life. He sees your grandchildren's life. He sees their children's lives. So He not only sees your life in the book, in His perfect plan, He sees your descendants. So when a human being takes the life of another human being, such as Cain did to Abel, it meant Abel would never have a wife, never have children, never have grandchildren. So all the bloods of all the descendants are placed upon the guilt of Cain. So that's how detailed, that's how worked out God has a plan for your life. Kelly, as you graduate from college, the most important thing for your life is to be in God's plan. As we're born in the womb and come out, I pray that for this little grandbaby on the way. I not only pray for the day of salvation for this child, I pray for God's plan to be worked out in his or her life. I believe in God's perfect plan with every ounce of me. I believe God has someone for you to marry. I believe God has a plan for you from day one. And this says that God sees your life in the womb. In verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And then look at verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. So here we go. You got the eyes of the Lord on the life in the womb, the plan of God for the life in the womb. And so life in the womb should be valued by you and I. And people shouldn't flippantly march around the cities in America and call it woman's health care or health management when the Word of God calls it murder. So understand that. We are trying to make a point today on how God values life and how we now live in a culture where life is not valued. Now, let me share with you about the nation of Israel. I only picked out four passages of Scripture. But turn with me to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, because right now we're seeing on the 6 o'clock news people flippantly marching in the streets of America calling for the genocide of an entire nation of people. God's chosen nation. And it's the hatred of the devil. And it's the ignorance of the ignorant. And I want you to understand this. And how heinous it is and how hateful it is and how God sees all of this. In Isaiah 41, verse 8, it says this, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the Lord speaking, the seed of Abraham. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and have not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, Israel, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. When I watch these people, that word comes to my mind. They are incensed against Israel. I'm talking about students at Harvard, UCLA, Southern Cal, University of Texas. These people don't live in the Middle East. These people couldn't take their finger and put their finger on a map of the Middle East and tell you where Israel is. And yet they are incensed. All they shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Fear not, I will help you. Fear not, Jacob and ye men of Israel. I will help you, saith the Lord. Seth the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Go with me to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. And flippantly, we hear people say that all Israel needs to be wiped out. All these people need to be destroyed. They're holding up signs that remind you of what Hitler did. And the hatred and the vitriol that these people are shouting out. Time and time again, that they're shouting out from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea. And you're seeing that on these college campuses. And that means we want to kill every Israeli from the river to the sea that is living in Israel. And Lawrence Jones, the African-American correspondent for Fox News, he went out the other day to one of the protests, and he said unto them, he said, I hear you saying from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea. He said, I've got one question, from what river to what sea? I don't know. I saw him ask Sam Moreto. Ivy League students. Oh, well, I don't know. Well, then why are you saying it? Because we got to free Gaza. Well, in what river and what sea? Do you even know where Gaza is? Can you spell Gaza? It's the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, which is not the original boundaries God promised Abraham. That's going to take in Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, and all that when these people get awakened by the power of God. We have an administration that can't talk. We have senators and House of Representative people that are marching with them. These are God's chosen. No value on life. No value on God. Psalm 83, verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. That's another word. It looks like a big tumult. New York City, Boston, L.A. It's all this disorder. It's all this chaos. And they that hate thee have lifted up thy head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. And look what it says, verse 4. And they have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. My friend, you're watching this on the 6 o'clock news every day. In America. Here. And nobody can take a stand. Verse 16. It says, fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And that's going to happen. And that's going to happen. these people, that you know, they're getting out of class. They look like a bunch of nincompoop misfits. Right. You know, part of it's hatred. Part of it's this bunch that's got $1,500 cell phones, $2,000 for a Taylor Swift ticket, $15 for a cup of coffee, and they want me to pay the daggum student loans. It's what's wrong with America. Go to Psalm 120. I want to drive this point home before I move forward. These people need to be arrested. They need to be deported. They need to be imprisoned. It's terrorism. It's hate speech. No, but they'll come get me for what I'm saying today. Psalm 120 verse 1 says, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, and I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with them that hate peace." This is Israel. They dwell, they're surrounded by those that hate peace. "I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." I want you to understand that those terrorists from Hamas, when they entered into Israel October 7th and did all these heinous, horrible, terrible things to these innocent folks, and now these people use Palestinians, and I don't even like to use the term Palestinian because it's really not even a true term, but they're using these Arabs in Gaza as human shields, and they hide behind them, and they hide in hospitals, and they do all these things. And you've got to understand how cruel and just bankrupt morally these people are. Understand something, my friend. You don't see Israelites marching in the streets of America calling for every Palestinian to be killed. You don't see Israelites forming in New York City and blocking traffic and keeping ambulances from helping people and all this stuff. There is a stark difference between the upright, godly morality of Israelites all over the world and the trash bin that these terrorists are. And America needs to wake up. It's a no-brainer. And nobody can say anything? Where's Bill Lee on this? Bill Lee needs to make a statement on this. Marsha Blackburn has made one, but she needs to get stronger. They are for war. But look, let me show you what God sees. Psalm 121, verse 1. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps you, Israel, will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." That means, Cleo, his eyes on Israel 24 hours a day, every day. These people are heaping coals of fire upon their head. And so is America. "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Let me read that again. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." It's going to be a day you're not going to hear anything about these people, but the nation of Israel will be here. Tim put something on Facebook a few weeks back. Patty read to me, and I think the gist of what he said was, if your church is not praying for Israel, you need to find another church. And you're saying, well, Brother Lou, yeah, we've got denominations all over America and all over Wayne County. Number one, they don't know what replacement theology is. If you're in a pulpit today and you don't know what replacement theology is, you either go out and learn what it is this week or get out. They don't know the background of the Judeo-Christian Bible. Oh, that's Old Testament. This is New Testament. God help these people. You know, God help these people that have no understanding of our Judeo-Christian foundation. The oracles of God have come from the nation of Israel, and the Savior of the world, Messiah Jesus, has come from the nation of Israel. So the life in the womb needs to be valued. The life of Israelites and nations need to be valued. No nation needs to be cut off from the face of the earth. People don't need to march in the street and flippantly say, you know, all the British need to be killed. All the Americans need to be killed. All this, you know, these things shouldn't happen. But this is where we are. And then the life of the individual. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Your life is valued. You've been created in the image of God as an individual. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, the scripture says this: Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. God sees it all. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And you know, I'm going to get to a scripture on that in a moment. But is there no fear of God left in the world? Do these people not fear God? Does no one fear God? Oh, I know I was born a boy, but I'm not a boy. I'm a girl now. God made you a boy. You were born a boy. Is that not common sense? I can't believe Jesus said it twice and we still don't get it. He goes, in the beginning, God made them male and female. Male and female, God made them. You know, and I said, why in the world did he write it twice? Well, I know now. I know now. It is, you are disgracing God. And we're just going to pat them. Oh yeah, you're okay. We want you to feel good about yourself. You don't feel good about yourself when people are lying to you. You don't feel good about yourself when you don't find your true identity in Jesus Christ and His true purpose for your life. And so look at what he says. There are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father seeing them. He sees a sparrow fall to the ground. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows the exact number of the hairs on your head. That was written in the book in Psalm 139. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more valued than the sparrows. God values your life. Humanity, how in the world can we go any lower? There is no respect, no value for individual lives. It's amazing. It is amazing. You know, we talk about life in the womb. Well, you know, when I went to school, you didn't have to worry about getting shot in school. You know, we got road rage now. You go down the road, and Patty's always telling me, yeah, don't say anything. Don't do anything. You know, they might have a gun, you know. Don't. And my reply is, well, I've got a gun too. Not that I want to pull it out. You know. But you got right. Yeah, people don't value life. You don't see them, you pull out in a lane in front of them, and they shoot you. They kill you. You know, they walk in grocery stores, kill 20 people they don't know. Movie theaters, they They go into schools and shoot innocent little children. The girl that was transitioning into a man that shot up the Covenant School in Nashville. You know, we've not seen. I know Patrick's seen some of them. I've seen some of them through the State House. But the bottom line is this. She wrote on that manifesto, and oh, you let a conservative Christian with a Make America Great Again hat shoot up somebody, his writings will be out the next day. But God forbid we put this woman, man, whatever she thought she was out there. She goes, I'm going to kill a bunch of Christian rich kids. That's hatred. Third graders that you don't even know. But let's cover it up. There is no respect for the individual life. Go with me to Psalm 34. And God values life. We're created in the image of God. And it's for us to give a voice. God meted out the punishment. I'm not going to get to it today. Because there was no court system with Cain and Abel. There was no judicial system. But now we are the voice for those that are the victims. We are the voice for those that can't speak from the womb. We are the voice of those whose innocent lives are taken by 16. And we had a guy, I know a guy that knew this young man. He lived in South Nashville. Four 14, 15, 16-year-olds 3 years ago walked up, tried to steal his car. They wanted his keys. He didn't give them to him. They shot him dead. Oldest one, 16. You know, we got these gangs in these housing units in Nashville, and there is no value to life. Man, when I grew up, if I ever heard somebody murdered somebody, man, I'd say that they're going to the electric chair. You know, that this is serious. Now they let them out the next day and they shoot someone else. Jillian Ludwig, a freshman at Belmont, is walking around the track there in that park, and a guy that had already shot somebody else shoots her. All she's trying to do is get an education. Look at what it says in Psalm 34, verse 15. He says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. God sees the innocents. His eyes on the innocent victims. And he is against those that are committing these crimes. He is against those that are committing these murders. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is now the 6 o'clock news. You don't even have to watch 6 o'clock news. 6 o'clock, just read Romans chapter 1. Everything you see on the 6 o'clock news is summed up there. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, the scripture says this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Yeah, let's take God out the school. Let's take him out the public square. Let's take him out everywhere we can take him out of. We don't want to think about him. We don't want him on our currency. We don't want to say in God we trust. We don't want to have prayer in the mornings. We don't want to acknowledge God anywhere. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You're seeing that now. These minds are reprobate. They are vanity. They are empty. They're vacuums. There's no depth to these people. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, malignity, You know, we have these reprobate minds, you know, that rejoice in all of this. You know, over there during that war right now, Israelis, and Benford has shared this several times with me, and he follows all the Israeli news. When an Israeli finds someone wounded, whether it's an Arab or whether it's an Israeli, they minister to them. Their emergency people minister to them. When they find dead terrorists, they wrap up the body, treat it with total respect. They get all the blood up and show total respect unto those individuals and their lives. When a Jewish person gets killed, Palestinians give each other presents to celebrate. Nobody's saying that. Do you not think our State Department has this information? If I've got it, how do they know that? Do you not think the CIA's got all this information? If I've got it, how do they not have it? I mean, come out and say something, somebody. Romans chapter 3, verse 11, it says this. There is none that understands, there is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they don't know, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. Welcome to 2024 in America. And we have got to take a stand. We value life. We value the ways of God. We're here to be a voice for those that are murder victims within our community, within our state. We're here to be the voice of those in the womb. We're here to stand up for right and biblical morals in the nation of Israel. We are the people that have to take the stand. And I'm doing this whole message today, and I'm not even getting to what we'll get to, because I want to tell you next week what the blood of Abel was crying out for. And that'll be the beginning of the message next week. But I want you to be clear and understand. I don't want somebody sucking you in and saying, oh yeah, well, Israel, we need a ceasefire. We need Hamas, Hezbollah, and all those people totally eradicated. They are evil, and they must be dealt with. But I want to show you one more thing before we leave. Go back to Genesis 4, and then I'll show you one more scripture. And I'll show you who's behind all this with Cain and Abel, and who's behind all this today. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, Abel, his brother, slew Cain. Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? So Cain was a liar and a murderer. Okay. Now go to John chapter 8, and I close out. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says this. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. It was the devil that moved upon Cain. It's the devil move. We're battling not flesh and blood. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar and a murderer. I want you to understand something, my friend. You're seeing these same elements at work today in America. You're hearing lies, and you're seeing calls for murder. And I just want you to understand biblically where all this is coming from. We value life. God is the God of life. In Jesus was life, and life was the light of men. In our religion, Christianity, our God died for us. In Islam, you're called on to be a martyr and die for your God. Total loss. They cannot coexist. Total losses. One is of God, one is of the devil. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we call on you today, we ask, Lord Jesus, that we will have the boldness and the courage to stand for you and your ways in life. Father, that we will say, this is the way of God. And that we will say that Israel is God's chosen. And Father, we will stand for the truth. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for life. May we value our own lives, not waste them. May we realize how precious our lives are to you, and let them be that precious to us also. May we live these lives communing with you and growing in you. And sharing your love. But Father, let us not compromise the truth. Because it is only the truth that has set us free. And you yourself, Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, I pray your protection. Not only for those in Israel who are fighting this war. I pray your protection for those who are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in America and all over the world. As all this hatred is spewed out, Father, I pray your mercy and protection on all these beloved souls. And for all these families, Lord, in America and throughout the world that have lost loved ones through needless, senseless killing. Father, I pray your comfort upon those families. Lord Jesus, hasten the day when all these former things are passed away. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen.